This is the Table for Two edition of the Deliberate Talks podcast, and I'm your host, Dakshina Dyantaya, welcoming you to an advancing linguistic domain that can take you to places for professional and personal developments. So get ready to stay ahead of the knowledge curve beyond the conventional methods of English learning with none other than Tara Kapoor. Tara is the head of marketing for Duolingo English Test in India. And apart from this, she is an award-winning marketer with an illustrious career across roles at Netflix, Vice Media, and more. In our conversation today with Tara, we uncover the upgrades in language assessment, exploring how new methods are reforming the way we learn, teach, and evaluate language skills in a global context. All this and more with Tara, right after this quick intro.
This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures.
And we are back. Hello, Tara. Welcome to the Deliberate Talks podcast.
Hi, Dakshin. Nice to meet you.
Super excited to host you. How are you doing?
Doing good. Hectic week, but been good so far.
Okay. I'll keep it as light as possible and let's have fun as much as possible. And before we get into our incredible dialogue on language learning and assessment, we start the show with a thought starter conversation. And I want to begin with asking you, why are English teachers in school always the strictest of the lot? And did you encounter one of them?
Actually, for me, it was a bit of the opposite. My English teacher was actually my favorite teacher, which is probably why I sort of went down this path. So post-school, I actually studied English honors as my major. And that was because I actually had a great English teacher, which I guess is a little contrary to what you were saying. But for me, I was terrified of my math teacher, and I still am semi-terrified of math. So I guess it just depends on school to school.
Okay, then. Awesome. Now that we are all set for a round of questions, let's begin with asking about Duolingo English Test, the DET. Now, the Duolingo language report highlighted that English remained to be one of the most popular languages to study across the world. So talk us through what is DET, the target audience primarily signing up for the English test in India, and how many of them are actually serious and casual learners, and what's their objective for trying this out?
Great question, and I'm glad you highlighted the distinction between the language app and the DET. And I think the interesting part is, one is obviously it's one, the app is for language learning and the DET is a high stakes proficiency test. But I think that also signals difference in behavior in terms of learning versus testing, right? When it comes to learning, behavior varies. And for some people, you're trying to learn to improve your standing in society. So, you know, you speak a different regional language, you're trying to learn English because it can help you get a better job, no matter what strata of society you're in. For some people, you're learning it casually just to be able to, you know, learn a new language and have fun. But when it comes to testing is a lot more high stakes because typically when people take an English proficiency test, it's to study abroad. And the audience that we have that takes the DET is primarily an audience that's looking to experience life in another country through higher education. So there are obviously different personas and different people. You know, think about your friend circle, right? And think about your friends that have studied abroad or the ones that have gone abroad from their undergrad or college, right? They're different kind of brackets. Yeah, so some people go and study abroad because they just want to experience another culture and they want to sort of be in a multicultural global ecosystem. They want to learn, they want to network, they want to expand their horizons. Uh-huh. Some people go abroad for better opportunity, right? So they want better jobs. They want to eventually migrate to another country and they want to change their quality of life that they're living in India, earn higher incomes. And migration is a very big motivator for a lot of Indians looking to study abroad. And then there's brackets of, you know, so we see STEM aspirants actually looking to study abroad a lot because, you know, there are great engineering schools abroad. There's talent. There's so much talent that exists in India. And they want to open up those opportunities from a job perspective. So you see a lot of engineers and students like that end up going to colleges in the US because it's so hyper-competitive in India. So yeah, just some different profiles that we see when it comes to testing.
Right. And honestly, how difficult is this?
Absolutely. I mean, this is just one part of the study abroad journey, right? So there's so much that students have to go through. And this test is just one part in that entire ecosystem and a very pivotal, life-changing moment for them. So super difficult, absolutely.
Right. How's the program structured now, if I have to ask that? Preparation for study abroad or job, we see a lot of people preparing themselves for English tests, the spoken English and the written English aspect of it. How difficult is this part for them in terms of how much time do they need to give themselves to prepare for something like this?
So honestly, it varies. You know, the idea of English proficiency tests is to just test your standard of English. So what we've tried to do with the DT is make it as stress-free as possible. So the idea of the test is it's intuitive. It's not a test that you need, you know, like it tests your standard of English at where you're at. It's not something that you have to prep for, right? So we have practice tests on the website that lets you experience what the test is like. It's actually, this number was so surprising to me that there's just about 10% of the Indian population that is actually fluent at English, which was a surprisingly small number for me in terms of what I thought, right? I thought it was a much higher number. And even if you buffer that and take it at 20%, that's a very large number that isn't speaking English at a fluency level to be able to learn and educate themselves at universities abroad, right? So the reason that these proficiency tests exist is so that students can actually learn in that language when they go abroad, and they're hitting the benchmark because all of these courses are taught in English. So that's the idea behind it. But the reason these tests exist is not for you to prepare and pass. The idea is for it to test what your level of English is at, right? So the way the DT works is it's an adaptive test where the questions get harder depending on your skill, right? So it's intuitive in that manner and sort of progresses. It's a lot more stress-free as an experience, right? So the questions kind of appear in ways that are a little more conversational. They feel a lot more real world in terms of how that plays out when you go to a university. So what we've tried to do is make this test not a test that you have to prep for, but a test that actually looks at your standard of English. And we have, you know, unlimited free practice tests on our website so people can experience what the user interface is like. They go through the process of, you know, taking a digital test and they understand that a little better. So the idea is ultimately you shouldn't prepare for it. It should be testing what your English standard is at. But for those who want to be prepared, because we know a lot of Indian students want to be prepared, you have the practice test to be able to do that.
Right. And it's a great point to touch upon the fluency bit, which you spoke about, and also passing the test. You know, maybe an indirect correlation to the whole aspect, but we learn English in school and college, we pass, and we don't really necessarily feel the need of it to extensively prepare ourselves for exams abroad. Many self-learn when it comes to preparing themselves, and then in the course of time, don't clear these study abroad mandatory exams. What do you think is the missing puzzle in, you know, from a school level program or a college level program that they have to come all the way here a few years later to understand that their fluency of English is not that great? What do you think is the missing puzzle?
I think the core challenge is just access, right? There's so many barriers when it comes to education, and that segregation between the haves and the have-nots just becomes bigger and bigger because of those barriers, right? And you see it so rampant in Indian society across the board. And obviously that has a role to play when it comes to education, right? And I think that's one part and one of the big motivators for me to join a company like Duolingo is it's so mission-driven in terms of making high-quality education accessible. And right. I think, you know, even with all of the blurry lines around EdTech, I think that's ultimately what EdTech is trying to do is make better quality education accessible to the masses, you know, and the challenge comes in when every company is not necessarily as mission driven, right? So the reason that I feel like Duolingo does this well is because the core mission of the company is to make world-class education accessible to everyone and to make it free, right? So even if you see the language app, majority of the programs are, you know, like you can learn a very high quality of language learning at a very high standard for free. You know, you do have the ads and you have some of those things that come into play, but the idea is that the quality of education is high. You know, so I think that's the part that makes the difference is how much access does somebody have to these tools to be able to get themselves to a certain level of society, right? So just because you're stuck in one part of India doesn't mean that you shouldn't have access to the best English teacher out there, right? And with EdTech, you're kind of being able to blur those lines. So I just hope that, you know, it's an industry that continues to grow and people see value in it, because access to quality education, I think, is what causes those blurry lines that you were talking about.
Right. So also then in that case, would at some point of time you would consider this DET to be an important part of also colleges and schools currently in India also at some point of time, just in case also, you know, this needs to be integrated at some point in a university level as well here?
I don't think it would be a it could happen for sure. I mean, there are certain places where people want or they require that level of, like, they want a test to kind of prove that English standard. You sort of see it happening with certain corporates as well, right? So certain companies ask students to go through tests, which could be English proficiency tests as well, to see what their standard is. They do this in other countries. Like, I know a lot of companies in Vietnam do this, because, you know, these are just entry-level requirements for certain companies. But where we're at right now is focusing more on study abroad, just because our acceptance is really strong with universities abroad right now. We haven't necessarily focused on Indian universities, because a lot of them look at your high school, you know, degree or your 10th, 12th mark sheets, and they see that as a strong enough standard.
Right.
It might evolve, but currently it hasn't, right? So we'd have to then work a lot with government, schools, you know, education ministries to be able to create that. But what you're saying is accurate. It could happen, right? Like, the idea of the DET is it's a benchmark and it's a standard of proficiency. And, you know, once something becomes a standard of proficiency, you can see a lot of adoption happening, even in areas that we haven't been focusing on for the time being.
Right. And it is a beautiful conversation, because as early as you start this adoption, it leads to a better preparation for study abroad as well. You know, it's just a thought that's in. But I think it beautifully sinks in regardless of that fact. But yes, coming to your marketing bit of this whole thing, it must be a challenge for sure. You know, there's a large portion of youngsters whose parents or surroundings must have already a notion about online tests, and maybe to a certain extent, even the lack of understanding of what DET really does. So how's the platform or the brand trying to reach out to this audience via the marketing efforts?
Yeah, great question. And you've hit the nail on the head. That's the biggest challenge that we have in the market, is the lack of brand awareness, because we're taking on, you know, traditional companies that have been around for decades and have, you know, followed a very old system of testing in the past, right? But when it comes to education and when it comes to study abroad, which is this really high stakes period in somebody's life, they don't want to go with something they don't trust, right? And you don't trust a brand that you don't know, right? So what we realized with the DET is that the students that know us trust us. They have a great experience. We have amazing recommendations from students that have gone through the process, but a very large portion don't take the DET because they don't know it exists. So what we're trying to do from a marketing perspective is do exactly what you were saying, increase brand awareness. And there are multiple ways that you do that, right? Like, we're trying to take a full funnel marketing approach towards building out our campaigns. But at the top of the funnel is the brand awareness portion, right? So we're trying to see how we can leverage a little bit of the fun, really social digital angle of Duolingo as a brand, because we have this massive global brand that people love, but also bring in the seriousness of high stakes testing, right? But some examples of how that's manifested for us is we did a really interesting marketing partnership with the movie Dunkey, right? Where, you know, it's so rare that you have a movie that's actually talking about the proficiency testing space and some of the challenges that we've voiced around it. And we use this as an opportunity for us to do something larger scale where, you know, we had a soundbite from Tapsee Pannu. We were able to create ads that we pushed across YouTube. We were integrated across, you know, some of the other movie promotions that Red Chillies was running. And then obviously had an influencer and promotional angle around it. That was one example of a campaign that we've run in the market. Besides that, you know, creating strong testimonial content from students that have taken the DET helps build trust. So showcasing success stories of students who have taken the DET and gotten into great universities abroad, we're trying to create as much content around that as possible. You know, we obviously have a digital social media first strategy because that's where our students are. Most of them are online. We don't need to be running TV ads to drive that awareness. And then, you know, a lot of focus on PR, press, and events on ground at colleges. So that's more of our evergreen stuff. But you will see campaigns like the Dunkey example happen on and off to create those brand awareness spikes.
Right. You did mention about testimonials. Now, you know, successful attempts in And online tests are great. But how does your product incorporate feedback from test takers in the ongoing development and refinement of the English test, say, for those who don't successfully complete it? How are you reaching out to them to, you know, come back again and probably take the test?
No, great point. And I think for us, a lot of it is on rules education. So what we've realized in a lot of countries is students don't understand that digital testing also has strict rules and that you can't just break the rules and expect to get a score, right? So we're doing a lot to make sure that students are aware of what they're doing and what's causing them to get invalid scores, right? So a lot of education around how to take a digital test is something we're working on. We work also very closely with counselors and agents in the market to help with that education so that students understand the consequences if they try to cheat. They understand, even if somebody's not trying to cheat, they're, you know, they're breaking a rule without realizing it, making sure they understand what those potential rule breaks could be. Because ultimately, we also want the success of our students. And through rule education, I think, is one aspect of it. The other part, which you were talking about in terms of adapting the product, is for students, the one part that they come to us is we want the DT accepted more widely, right? So right now we're accepted by 5,000 plus institutions across the world, which is a high number, but that's obviously not universally accepted yet. And we're getting there. We're working on it. We're just a lot newer as a product. But for us to get accepted, we need to work with universities to adapt the test based on their feedback, right? So that more universities want to accept us and then we're able to service students better. And what we do is every year we have an annual update to the test based on feedback that we get from universities and other stakeholders who are involved in testing, including we have a student advisory board who are previous test takers who also have input into what we do or give us feedback on that entire experience. And it's very rare to have a test update so rapidly. We update our test every year. We're in the phase of updating our test currently, right? So April 2nd is when you see the new version of our test running. We've already been running some communication around that, but this helps us improve our product. This helps us make a more secure test. This helps us drive up acceptance. And then ultimately, it helps test takers have more opportunities when it comes to proficiency testing choices.
All right, lovely. And it's been almost a year and a half for you in the system as well.
Yes, it has.
Tell me some amazing stories as a positive outcome of the English test. And that makes you really feel good at the end of the day.
Yeah, I love this question. It's one of my favorites. And I think for me, it is to meet test takers, like actual students who, you know, when I speak about this, it gives me goosebumps because you're actually seeing something transformative happen for students, right? And like I told you, Duolingo is mission-driven. So yes, we do want to make money by selling our tests, but we want to make sure our test is as affordable as possible, which it is. It's a fraction of costs of our competitors. But through that, we're able to also provide a lot of test waivers for folks that need it, right? So we run an access program which recruits 20 to 25 gifted refugee students from around the world who are put into a program where not only do they get DT waivers, but we provide a college counselor who helps them with their application process. We work with them to get accepted into top schools, to get their visas, because you know they have refugee status, which makes it very difficult for them to do this on their own. We're running our second cohort right now, starting recruitment for the third. A very large cohort of those students live in India. So I've gotten to meet some of our refugee students who are from Afghanistan, who are Rohingya refugees. And I've seen some of them get placed in universities like Georgetown. And, you know, when you see that transformative journey, you hear their stories, you see how intelligent they are. And, you know, you're really like, hey, these students are going to change the world. And we've played a small role in that journey. So for me, meeting these access scholars has been one of the biggest highlights. But beyond the access scholars, there's so many students like this, right? I met a student recently who was talking to us about how initially he didn't consider studying abroad because just taking a proficiency test was such a barrier, right? And it sounds silly because you're like, this proficiency test is such a small part of that journey. But when you heard his story where it was like he was only getting an appointment at a city that was miles away on a certain date, tickets to fly there were so expensive. It was going to take him 5 days to take a train. you know, this entire process was like, when you started hearing how the numbers started adding up, he was like, even if I get a scholarship to go to the university, my proficiency test is ultimately going to cost me lakhs of rupees. So it just felt like it felt like something that was an absolutely impossible dream. And then I came across the DT, which I could take from my house. I could take it at a much lower cost. And suddenly that opened opportunities for me. And this is a scholarship student who's gotten into a great university, right? So to hear someone say that, where you're like, wow, I didn't realize that just the test could be such a great facilitator, I think was really motivates you to do this job. So these are just some examples. I have tons of them in terms of student stories, but really inspired by the testicos that I meet.
Fabulous. I mean, like, that really makes you go back home and get great sleep and wake up fresh next day to ensure that there's a new dream which is fulfilled as well. So I'm Absolutely. Sure that's a great feeling. Now, you know, there's another aspect of it. Maybe it's a struggle for the boomers and millennials, maybe. But, you know, the language aspect keeps evolving, right? Now, Duolingo has introduced Skolangs based on series and fan communities. You have the anime languages featured in as great courses. The Game of Thrones language comes as great courses. It's lovely. It's lovely to see Skolangs come into existence. But one of the generational conversations is millennials trying to understand the Gen Z's lingo. And eventually this will pass to the Gen Alpha lingo as well.
Yeah.
Imagine someone comes to you, Tara, and says, TFW, when I hear you speak, your English is riz. It slaps so hard. And you must be wondering, what is this, right? Or this is not something that I'm used to listening on a daily basis. Now, you know, when we talk about students abroad and study abroad, we're also talking about this generation which is going to go there and get used to a new set of lingo altogether. How is that preparation coming into the picture? Like, how do I really try to understand what the Gen Z or the Gen Alpha lingo is?
So, Dakshin, great question. And I think the tragedy of it is that it makes me just feel old, which I hate feeling. But I think, you know, when I hear slang, like, I usually feel like, you know, as marketers, you sometimes feel like you're a lot closer to the current generation than other folks, you know, from other generations. But ultimately, I mean, that's not how I converse in life. And, you know, I would unfortunately be opening up Urban Dictionary and checking that. But I think for us, there's two parts to it, right? So from a social media and a marketing perspective, we try and bring slang into our communication because we want to sort of relate to our consumer. But obviously, we need to do it at limitation because of what our product is. And that's the second part of it, right? When it comes to testing and when it comes to high stakes proficiency, it's about how you would communicate a little more formally, because the idea of this is how you would communicate in university or how you would communicate in a working environment. And you're definitely not saying that slaps to your boss, right? Or your university professor, right? So I think that's the difference, is we're aware. When it comes to social media, where we try to be a peer to students, we're still a guiding peer. So we're still giving them a perspective and we're still sort of trying to help them out. So it's like almost like a mentor of sorts. But we're not unrelatable, where like an old uncle trying to talk to a student, right? So I think those are the parts where we're trying to meet a middle ground when it comes to slang. But when it comes to testing, it has to be proper English. And when I say proper English, it doesn't have to be highbrow. It can be conversational, but it can't be slang. That's the difference when it comes to proficiency testing, right? Is yes, certain parlance can pass, but like, the words that you were using will definitely not work well when it comes to high stakes testing, right? But you might have seen it on the language app. We have fun with sentences. We sort of give people ways they can say silly things and have fun. And that's a little bit of what we try to lean in on the DT as well when it comes to social media and some of the content we're promoting. But it's a fine line because of what the product is itself, which is a high stakes.
Okay, great. That leaves a lot for us to self-learn as well. But it's an ongoing learning. And I think the best teachers to that is the generation itself. And we got to get adopted to.
I just hope that's a completely different language, because then I'll have to learn something else.
Great stuff, Tara. With that, we come to the end of the first round of questions. Time to move from the questions on DET to RFT, which means the rapid fire test. And some quick fires.
I hate rapid fire questions, but I'll go for it.
Some quick fires coming at you, so be ready for this. In 60 seconds, as a person marketing the product, tell me three reasons why DET is the future of language assessment for universities abroad.
I mean, I think it is the future just because it's a digital test. It's affordable. I can go on about this for a while. So it's affordable. It's, accessible. So just the fact that you can take it from anywhere, anytime. It's built for students. So it's built keeping a student's preferences in mind in terms of convenience, in terms of affordability, access, all of that. So those are the top three things that I think makes DET the future. Having a digital test is a no-brainer to me. Having to go to a test center is super archaic, and that needs to be the evolution as we progress.
Right. Okay. In 50 seconds, your collaboration with the film Donkey that you mentioned, what's the favorite part of the collab, and which is that one brand you want to collaborate in the near future?
Favorite part, which is personal, is obviously meeting Shah Rukh Khan. I think he's amazing. I always have one of the few actors that I'm a definite fan of. So big highlight. Besides that, I think being able to marry entertainment marketing with education marketing, right? It's kind of like bringing back my past experience at Netflix and marrying it to the DET. And to me, that was a really cool moment of being able to bring two skill sets together and promote our product. So really enjoyed that.
Yeah. And which is that one product that you want to collaborate in the future?
With Duolingo itself, you know, I think there's a lot of scope for the DET and Duolingo to do a lot more together. And I think, I mean, we will make it happen, but figuring out the right opportunity, because right now our personalities are quite different as brands, but building that awareness, I think, of both products would be a collaboration I'd love.
Super. Okay. In 40 seconds, if people spoke to you only using emojis for a whole day, what would your day look like?
Pretty normal, actually. I mean, I communicate a lot with memes, so I don't think it would be too hard to communicate with just emojis. I think I'm okay with the emoji world. If it was Gen Z slang words, might be a lot harder, but emojis are easy to understand.
Right. Okay, super. In 30 seconds, three personal tips for people who want to improve their spoken English.
Read and watch movies in English, even if you don't do that regularly, would be one. The second would be to actually practice, right? So use the DET practice test, use the language learning app, just to practice on a regular basis, and speak more in English if you don't speak at home, right? So find a friend, a family member who you can have long conversations with in English. And I think with these three, you'd be great.
Okay. In 20 seconds, one language you're learning currently and one you want to learn later this year.
Currently learning Spanish. I have a 400 and something day streak. I've lost count, but I have a good streak. And I would love to learn either Korean or Japanese, but the lettering, I think, is what's hard for me, but would love to learn one of those two.
Wow. Okay. And in 10 seconds, your favorite English word these days.
My favorite English word. This is hard. I'm missing out. I'm breaking this rule. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know as the answer.
Yeah, let's make it as that.
Super. Fabulous stuff there, Tara. With that, we come to the end of today's episode. This was really, really fun. And it's really great to know what goes on into building an effective product. And more importantly, you know, market it effectively, right? And I thoroughly enjoyed hosting you. I hope you had a good time on
Thank
the show.
Thank you. Yeah, this was great, except for that last rapid fire question, which I told you I hate because I always fumble somewhere. So it had to happen. I thought I was doing a good job until the last one. But thank you for having me. And I hope this was interesting for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, and wishing you nothing but the best, Tara.
Super.
And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to all the audio and video channels of The Deliberate Talks and Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Join me next week for a Table for One edition. Until then, be curious, be adventurous, and never stop learning. Cheers.